If you're looking to learn more about the origins of women and how they got started, how the Calgary music scene influenced their sound or how it didn't influence their sound, I think there's no one better to talk to than freelance music journalist Jesse Locke. Here is he now taking us through what it was like to be in Calgary at the time, women's origins, starting off from high school, and everything that followed them after their career, most notably the Viet Cong and Preoccupation saga. These are all important things I wanted to address, and I thought it would be best if Jesse Locke did that for us.
Hi, my name is Jesse Locke, and I'm a freelance writer and musician based in Toronto. I guess if you want to know my origin story as like a music journalist, it was really working at The Reflector, the student newspaper at Mount Royal College in Calgary. I was the arts editor, so I'd always been like a huge music fan, but that was really when I got the chance to start, you know, interviewing artists and reviewing albums and reviewing concerts and just like channeling that love into a real job. Yeah, I kind of just like dove headfirst into music journalism and started covering the local scene and all the amazing things that were happening around that time. And that's kind of how it all got started.
This is Tim Bandook reporting for TJN. We've been invited down here to the Ace of Clubs on 9th Avenue in downtown Calgary to see Mass.
There's definitely
Splash
like not
FM.
As much music media and industry in Calgary, but I think that's what makes this scene so special, and it's what allows people to create their own things kind of in a almost like a vacuum or in isolation. Because people weren't going for it like in a careerist way as much. They were more just like making weird original things kind of out of boredom or out of like opposition to the lack of weird culture in Calgary, and because of that, there was like, it felt to me like a really tightly knit community, you know, like people in bands would always be out at everyone else's shows, and it was just like it felt really, really communal to me. There was like, I kind of feel like it was like an older generation, and like by the time women came on the scene, it was almost like a changing of the guard, if that makes sense. Like, it seems like people who've been slugging it out for years and years before were still very active on the scene, and then this kind of younger crop of bands started popping up. There's also like a Zeta Booth, Puberty, and Teledrome, just like bands doing really weird kind of different twists on rock music, whether it was like garage rock or post-punk or straight ahead punk. Yeah, it felt to me like there was like a new crop emerging, and women were like everyone's favorite. I guess I was just a massive fan more than anything. I didn't really know the members of the band before. I'd seen their band before Women. It was called Veritas. It was kind of like a dark prog band, kind of influenced by Mogwai, maybe even Tool. Like kind of uncool things, but I saw them play a bunch of shows at this all-ages venue, the Carpenters Union Hall, and Pat was just like a total freaker back then, like jet black dyed hair, old man pants, and they were like extremely mathy and weird, and they released an album on, I think, kind of like a CD and net label. But yeah, when they came on the scene as Women, I was just so blown away. You know, it was like one of the most kind of fresh sounding guitar bands that I'd heard in a long time, and it was just really, I don't know, reminiscent of a lot of the other kind of deeper post-punk stuff I was getting into around that time, stuff like This Heat, you know, Joseph K and the Fire Engines, and other Scottish post-punk bands like that. But yeah, Women, I think they really like invented this beautiful sound. Just like the interplay between Pat and Chris's guitars and the super stately rhythms. That's how I've always described it. And Pat's vocals and just like the lo-fi dreamy quality of their recordings, you know, and like mix on their albums, like mixing in with like sound collages and ambient drone pieces. They were just doing something really original that I'd never heard a band in Calgary doing. And, yeah, I would go see them as often as I could. Like, I remember seeing them 3 times in 1 weekend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was just a mega fan. I was, like, always in the front row, just super, super into it right from the jump. I was very lucky to be in Calgary at that time when they were getting started and to see them so often. I realize there's like such a cult following now, and it was really just like spreading through word of mouth, I think, like through their Canadian tours and American tours. And yeah, they earned some pretty high profile fans, like members of Deer Hunter and Deer Hoof and stuff like that. So the word kind of got out that there's like this amazing band from Calgary, Alberta. Because I think they kind of, before they really went for it in Canada, I think they did a tour of Europe. So they were really just like honing their chops. They're all incredible musicians to begin with. Yeah, they were just so good. They kind of emerged fully formed. Like, I remember the first time I saw them, I was just like, what is this? You know, hearing songs like Shaking Hand and stuff like that, it was just like, this is mind-blowing. The intricacy of their arrangements and the, how tight they are was just, like, crazy. I couldn't get enough of it, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, their shows, people would just, like, kind of lose their minds when they saw them play. It was so original. I don't know, I've like coined this joke term over the years, flagel rock. There's like the two guitars kind of bouncing off each other, really kind of thin, abrasive tones. Mm-hmm. And then just the interplay between instruments. I guess that's how I would describe flagel rock. It's this like lo-fi, dreamy, haunting sound. I've described the guitar's parts as spidery before. And that's always kind of how it sounds to me. It's like little arpeggios. Yeah, really notey guitar parts. And there was a lot of flagel rock bands that popped up in the wake of Women. Not only in Calgary, but in other parts of Canada and even in the U.S. Just kind of like borrowing that two guitar, like spidery riff thing that they did and the vocal style. And even like I would see bands like hold their guitar the same way Pat would hold the guitar, like really high. And I think it does give people a lot to obsess over. It's kind of like a mystery. What would happen after?
Stop this band, stop this show. Here come, that's got you low. I said I can't stop. I said I won't stop. Until the fingers drop. Until
every day that you continue to profit, economically profit off of this band name. You're making money, you're touring, you're still making money.
I mean,
money.
I think that's another thing that like you can't talk about them without talking about everything that happened with Viet Cong after too. I think that was just, I've written really critically about that.
Right.
Myself and like kind of acknowledged like how I know these guys and you know have played shows with them and played shows with them when they were called Viet Cong and you know and it's interesting recently because this has kind of come up again like I was like 5 years ago when that was all happening but I do think that was just like handled so poorly you know like whether it was egos or like someone that a record label pressuring them not to change their name or whatever it's like I really think they should have just taken the criticism from people like John McCurley and April Liermo and just like changed their name immediately. I don't think we should be more critical of the album, but it's just something that's part of the story. And it can't, I just think it needs to be included in the story, basically. But also, the music of Women should exist kind of as a beautiful thing that was created. It's funny, I'm still wrestling with my thoughts about this like so many years later. They're like a big cult band. I think like with the 10th anniversary coming up, there probably will be more things like this, like your radio show and maybe pieces of writing with people talking about the influence. So yeah, it's a popular record, you know? Like, it's gigantic in terms of its influence, even if, like, the wider numbers don't match that. But that's never a good metric to, like, define if something is good or not, I don't think. I don't know. It's the hidden gems that are the best. I mean, I think just if anything, like, celebrating Chris Reimer is what people should be talking about, because he was one of the core songwriters of the band and definitely, like, contributed so much to crafting the sound. And people should just go back and, like, listen to that collection of Chris's solo music that Flemish Eye put out a couple years ago, and also the music he made with the Dodos. He joined that band after Women broke up. And if anything, I just want to... You know, I knew Chris. He was a friend, and he was such a wonderful, generous person. I don't know. One of the last memories I have is, like, going to see Deerhoof with him in Montreal when he was visiting, and I was living there. Mm. And yeah, he was just, like, buying drinks for people throughout the night, and just being such a wonderful, kind, fun-loving person who just really loved making weird music. So. I think Chris should be remembered. He's someone who passed away, like, far too young, in his sleep, you know, because of a heart condition. Like, just a really tragic way to go. And had probably, like, a really incredible future as a musician, like, joining other bands and doing solo things and ahead of him. So, to me, the memory of Public Strain is, like, the memory of Chris Reimer. They definitely are celebrated in Calgary, like, there's music that's broadcast out of the Calgary Tower every day. Mm. It's, like, kind of big or important Calgary songs, and one of those is Black Rice. The legacy of Women is definitely still celebrated.
Needless day, fences and gates, lions contained.
Thank you so much to Jesse Locke, who spoke with me about growing up in Calgary, following Women as a high schooler, and everything that followed them after their breakup through the formation of Viet Cong / Preoccupations. It was a really illuminating chat. I hope you learned more about Women's start in Calgary and the Calgary music scene at the time of their formation. We will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of Public Strain over the next couple weeks. Next week, we'll start to really dig into the album. I was really lucky to speak with Dennis from Dirty Work here at CJLO, which you can hear on Thursdays at 4 p.m., who really played an important role in my journey with this album. And we kind of go through the album track by track, so you won't want to miss that. That will be next Monday at 11 a.m. Of course, you can listen to all past episodes of Super Connected on Mixcloud. Just go to mixcloud.com/ Francella Fialos, FRANCELLAFIALLOS. That's my name. I've been your host today of Super Connected. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this introduction to my month-long celebration of Public Strain by Women. We have a lot of great content, more great interviews, and lots of amazing audio to get into soon enough. Thank you for joining me. Coming up next, we have The Sewer Spear with Chris the Frog. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Public Strain is like an album that I think is going to stand the test of time.
Everything just sounds like it's just gripping on to order from the throes of chaos.
It's gigantic in terms of its influence, even if, like, the numbers, the wider numbers don't match that.
I tell people, I'm like, as far as I'm concerned, Public Strain is one of the best Canadian albums of all time.
Who did I have to, like, tie down to a chair to listen to this, to understand why this record's worth it?
I realize there's, like, such a cult following now.
There used to be a time where I used to think of, like, an alternate reality where Women hadn't broken up.
Public Strain being their swan song record is kind of perfect.
There really is a story with Women.
Super Connected celebrates 10 years of Public Strain. For the next 5 weeks, you'll hear special features, full album spins, and interviews with fans and the people involved. Don't miss our celebration of one of the greatest Canadian records of all time. Catch Super Connected on Mondays at 11 a.m., only on CJLO 1690 AM.